This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today, I would like to speak to you about something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned us from it so much. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not warned us about something more danger, more severe than this thing, which is the hellfire. To the extent that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day stood up in the minbar and he said, Uhadhirukum an-nar, I warn you from the hellfire, I'm warning you from the hellfire, and he raised his voice to the extent that the people outside in the market heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that. And his face was red. Andartukum naran talazza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm warning you from a blazing fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described this hellfire in details. Wasafa ta'amaha, he described the food in it, the drink, the water and the liquid in it. وَصَفَ أَغْلَالَهَا وَأَنْكَالَهَا, he described the chain, the shackles. وَصَفَ حَمِيمَهَا وَغَسَّاقَهَا, he described the heat and the fire of it. أَصْفَادَهَا وَسَرَبِيلَهَا, he described the cloth of the people of the hellfire. وَصَفَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this in details. When you read these verses in the Quran, and by the way, hellfire was mentioned equal time to the number. Some scholars said equal time to the number of Jannah. But I found actually that's not accurate. Hellfire was mentioned more than Jannah in the Quran. The number of time that speak about hellfire, it is more than the time that spoke about paradise. Yet we don't, when we talk about hellfire, it became something that is strange. It's not a common topic. It's not a common subject. It's not a common reminder, while it's very common in Al-Quran. When you read the Quran describing the hellfire, when you read it with your heart before your eyes, as if you are there at the edge of the hellfire, at the gate of the hellfire, watching it, seeing it from inside, seeing the darkness of it, seeing the levels of it, how deep and how stiff it is. You see how people are rolling in it and traveling inside it between its valleys, climbing its mountains. يُكَبْكَبُونَ فِي جَحِيمِهَا. All this was mentioned in the Quran as a nadir, as a tahdir, as a warning for all of us. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing to us. He said, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ, the example of me and you. Like someone start a fire in the desert, and when the fire start, what happened? All these insects start flying into the fire because they want the light or the heat coming from it. And he said, you're falling into the fire. وَأَنَا أَخُذُ بِحُجُزِكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, and I'm trying to grab you away from the fire, and you insisting to jump in it. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that, he said, أُحَذِّرُكُمُ النَّارِ, I'm warning you from the hellfire. يقول الراوي, حَتَّى سَقَطَتْ قَطِيفَةً عَلَى كَتْفِ, he had something on his shoulder, it fall down, because how excited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how serious he was talking sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This subject became so weak, the sound of it so weak, so soft, in the hearts and the mind of the Muslims today, unfortunately. And it is important to keep reminding yourself of it and to read the Quran and to contemplate on it. If Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu ardahum and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before that will read the verses about the hellfire and he will say, Ya Rab, protect me from it. Ya Rab, save me from it. And they will be scared and afraid when you're reading it, while they're reading these verses. What about me and you? What about us? How these verses will impact us? will move our hearts. When you read these verses and these description of it, don't just discount yourself and account as if you exclusively for others. And you know what? You are excluded from it. Think about a fire that Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was reported that he said, for 1,000 years it was heated until it became red. Then another 1,000 years it was heated until it became, you know, كَانَ حَمْرَاءَ أَحْمَرَّتْ ثُمَّ بِيَضَّتْ. Another 1,000 until it became white. Then another 1,000 it became absolutely pitch black. فَهِيَ سَوْدَاءُ مُظْلِمَةً. Completely dark, completely black. No light in it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a rock was thrown in it. It took that rock 70 years of falling to reach the bottom of it. And I'm not tonight here to describe the hellfire for you. I'm not here to talk about this. But I just, as I'm going to talk about the eternity of the hellfire, I just want you to know that 1 second in the hellfire is enough. 1 second. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the most luxurious person in this world, the most powerful, the one who lived all kind of luxury. You can name it, name that person. Somebody never had a hard day, a bad day in his life or her life. Will be brought in the day of judgment. That person belonged to the hellfire, not Muslim, not a believer. And he will be dipped, one dip in the hellfire and will be pulled out. And it will be said, have you seen any good? فَيَقُلْ وَعِزَّتِكْ مَا رَأَيْتُ خَيْرًا قَطْ. Wallahi, I did not see any good. I just make this easy for you to understand what this hadith means. I went to Hawaii, I went to Kauai in Hawaii. Beautiful, the wettest island in the face of the earth. That's where they shot Jurassic Park movie. You know, it's an amazing, when you go there, you even ask yourself, where I'm going to be landing in this island? It's the whole entire trees, beautiful from outside, from on the airplane. Can you imagine how beautiful this place is? While you're enjoying yourself, the waterfalls, the beautiful beaches, the mashallah, the fresh fruits, you name it. Beautiful caves, beautiful community, beautiful homes like or hotels. Then in your way back, and you are in the small airplanes flying back to one of the main islands to fly to wherever you're coming from, the whole entire airplane starts shaking. In the middle of nowhere in the ocean. So hard that, you know, you felt like the airplane, like a paper airplane. Shaking so hard. 25 passengers in that airplane. He said, that's it. One of these, like, we're going to be like cast away or something. At that moment, you tell me, how was your trip? I said, zift wa lillah alhamd, you know? He said, trip, I don't want to even hear anything about trip. You know, it's a terrible idea to come here. That's right. You will just forget everything when you know there's going to be crash. That's what I mean when the one dip in hellfire. He said, Ya Rab, I didn't see any good ever in my life. That's how it is. So not because we talk about eternity of it, somebody said, oh, that's good news. No. That's not something you don't want to even come closer to it. Hellfire is so big, so huge. Anybody has a Google here? Or ChatGPT? Can you check for me how many times the sun is bigger than the earth? Right. Yeah. 1.3 million. 1.3 million times bigger than the earth. The sun. Can you comprehend that? 1.3 million. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the sun and the moon, they will be taken and thrown in the hellfire. Completely observed in the hellfire. They are nothing comparing to the size of the hellfire. Just imagine the size of that hellfire. One day, we all, not a single one of us, will skip that day. يقول الله تعالى وإن منكم إلا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا. Each and every one of us will approach the hellfire. Each and every one of us will cross over the hellfire. Can you imagine the length of that bridge? We're all going to walk above the hellfire. How long that will take us to cross. That's one of the times when the prophets and messengers said, Ya Rabbi, Sallim, Sallim. Salman al-Farisi said, Ibrahim will cross saying, Ya Rabbi, Sallim, Sallim, Nafsi, Nafsi. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim, the father of all the prophets, said, Ya Rabbi, save me, save me. Save my soul while he's crossing. We know that hellfire exists. We know that it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared already. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the hellfire. And he had seen it. And Jibreel alayhi salam saw it. And he said, Ya Rab, you know, anyone will hear of this will never enter it. So he saw it, and it's already created and existed. There is a question was raised by some Muslim theologian, and I'm bringing it up because a lot of non-Muslim asked this question, a lot of Muslim too. They said, is it true that hellfire is eternal? Will be forever? Or in another word, if you can tell the difference between the two sentences, is it true that the punishment in hellfire will remain forever? Okay? Is it the punishment in the hellfire will remain forever? Some people use the much looser term by saying, is the hellfire eternal? So this issue, is it an issue of consensus like paradise? No. In paradise, there is a consensus among all Muslim Sunni scholars that paradise is eternal. If you enter paradise, it is eternal, has no end for it. There is no difference of opinions about it. But when it comes to the eternity of the hellfire, actually you will find a dispute among the Muslim scholars about the eternity of the hellfire. And that dispute among the Muslim scholars started in a very early time. Very early time, that we found statements from some of the companions stated that the hellfire is not eternal, or the punishment in hellfire is not eternal. And in the top of that list will be someone like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu arda, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abu Huraira, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So you have this great names of companions, and it's been reported that they took the opinion and position that the punishment in the hellfire will not remain forever, will not be eternal. There is one day will come and it will end. But let me make this clear. None have said that the people of hellfire will end up in paradise. Nobody said that the people of hellfire, the non-believers, who will end up paradise. No, they said it will stop and no more punishment. No, they will be ceased to exist, basically. That's it. But no one ever said, because the only there is one condition, if you don't have, you would never step a foot inside Jannah. حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ If you're a kafir, you disbelieved in Allah, and you're a disbeliever, you would never ever enter Jannah, you would never taste the reward of Jannah. That's rule. So they said, for the disbeliever, at those disposition, said, yes, at one point it will come to an end, the punishment and the suffering in hellfire. And you will find that this position was also adopted by some scholars, mainly later scholars that we can name, and among them Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and also was attributed to Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Al-Shawkani also supported this, you know. But as you see, we can count the people through history among the scholars who took that position. And before I move forward, I just want to put out there for those who are interested. As for Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, there is, if you look carefully and study carefully what he wrote about this topic, you will come to the following conclusion. He has a statement where it's and been attributed to him, not from him, but attributed to him, and some of his statements, some of the things that, like, he wrote a letter, like a paper about this as well, that it seems to be he leans towards the opinion of that hellfire is not eternal. He has so many clear statements stating that the hellfire is eternal and the punishment of the hellfire is eternal. Very clear statement. And a statement that implies that as well. Like, for example, he always comments on Ibn Hazm rahimahullah when he disagree with him in his book Maratib al-Ijma'. Ibn Hazm, he wrote a book about what are the things that Muslims have consensus upon. And one of the things that he mentioned, that Muslims are consensus, there is a consensus among the Muslims that hellfire and paradise are eternal. And Ibn Taymiyyah did not object to that, approve that. But also, many times he makes a statement to say that hellfire is eternal, especially when he refuted Al-Jahm ibn Safwan and others. Anyway, there is also another position you can see clearly from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Sometimes he will mention both and he will not have a position. Or in other words, sometimes he might mention the opinion of it is not eternal, but he doesn't clearly state it that he is in favor of that position. So for me to say that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah adopted this position, if you look at his work, his own work, it's hard to come to this conclusion this way. The only reason I think there is a good argument for saying that Ibn Taymiyyah took that position, because his best student is Ibn al-Qayyim, who clearly took that position, who strongly defend that position, have attributed that position to Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. But what I think, it makes more sense to me, which some researchers also come to this conclusion, it looks like Ibn Taymiyyah leans towards that opinion, but not necessarily adopting that opinion 100%. Or leans toward it sometimes in a sense that they try to defend that opinion and say the scholar who took that position, they have a point. Sometimes I might defend an opinion, or just to show you that those people have an argument. I give you an example. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, there is a debate among the scholars. Is the copy of the Torah, and the copy of the Bible that we have, is it completely changed or not? Is it the same one Musa received, or it is completely changed? Ibn Hazm came and he said, nothing in this book from Allah. That's why he doesn't have any respect for it, nothing. Then they start bringing some of the scholar of hadith, and they attribute this to Bukhari and other. They said, no, this book is the same book that was revealed to Musa alayhi salam. And the change happened only in reinterpreting the meaning, but it's the same book. So some people said, look at how this jahil say that. And they start attacking and putting down some ulama ahl al-hadith because of that position. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah came and he defended their position. And he said, this position is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, that no one can change Allah's words. And he said, Qatada and others from the tabi'een said, changing Allah's word by making a book other than his book. Even that include the Torah. And he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a copy from the Torah and he put it on his lap, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on a pillow in front of his him, in his lap, and he put it in the pillow. And he said, I believe in you and whoever revealed you. And he said, if this is completely or mostly changed, Innabi will not say, I believe in you. And he started bringing all this evidence to support that position. Even though Ibn al-Qayyim does not believe that this book is exactly or mainly the same book that Musa alayhi salam have received. He believed that many changes have happened to it. But what he was trying to do, he was trying to defend that position, telling you that this position of the scholars is not just very weird. No, they have their own argument, but not necessarily I agree with them 100%. So I feel and I believe, and that's my theory, that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, the same thing. He was saying that the position of those who said Jahannam or the punishment hellfire is not eternal. They have a strong argument. So sometimes he will show this case, not because he necessarily adopted 100%, but he recognized that this is a strong opinion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Doesn't matter, but I just want to put this out because some people, especially Subki and others, attack Ibn Taymiyyah severely because of his position about this. And we will see now what is that position based on. No doubt, the overwhelming scholars, Sunni and theologian scholars, took the position that hellfire punishment is eternal for the disbelievers. Maybe I need to step back just to make sure that we are all on the same page. The people who enter hellfire are two types of people. Believers who are there for a temporary period of time to be purified from their sins. Okay? And they will be taken out. But they are believers. They never commit shirk. They never worship other than Allah. They never deny Allah. And there is another type, which is the disbelievers. The people who associate other than Allah in worshiping and in believing, okay, who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, the kuffar and the mushrikeen, they are eternal for the hellfire. So that's the whole, so we talk about the second category, okay? So here, the group who said hellfire is eternal, they said, because we looked at the Quran and we found Al-Quran speak clearly, not in one way, but in different ways, that the punishment in hellfire is eternal. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يُفَتَّرُ عَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ, that the torment or the torment of the hellfire will not be lightened for them, and they will be plunged into destruction with deep regrets and in the deep despair therein. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the people of hellfire, so they will be basically لا يفتران, they'll be enlightened. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ, they will never exit the hellfire. So that means they will never exit, it's eternal. Also, they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. You shall taste the result of your evil actions. No increase shall we give you except in torment, in punishment. So the punishment will keep increasing and increasing. So if it's not eternal, that means this verse is not correct, because at one point it's not going to be increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, لَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمُ, but those who disbelieve, for them will be fire of hell. Neither it will have a complete killing effect on them so that they die, nor shall its torment be lightened for them. لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا ولا يخفف عنهم من عذابها كذلك نجزي كل كفور. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, thus do we requite every disbeliever. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, death will be brought in the shape of ram, like an animal, which will be brought to the sirat, where it will be slaughtered, and a caller will call, O people of Jannah, eternity without death. O people of hellfire, eternity without death. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. So they said that's very clear that this is eternity. Also, they said Al-Quran, in three times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in regard to the hellfire, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. For instance, in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They in hellfire forever. Absolutely forever. That emphasis, absolutely forever, shows you that it's eternal. So that's the argument that they use. Okay? That's the argument they use. The other group, and they said there is a consensus been mentioned by Ibn Hazm, by many scholars, and never been challenged. And that's the position of the overwhelming scholars in the books of theology. They said, the other group said, no. We don't believe in the eternity of the punishment of the hellfire. Why? Because several reasons. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in regard to the people of hellfire, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the people of hellfire, okay, those who will be in hellfire, they will dwell therein for all the time that the heavens and earth endure, except as your Lord dwells. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except as your Lord dwells. So that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might, that exception means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His will, or He will make an exception for some people, so they will not there forever. It doesn't give that sense of eternity, because He said, except for what your Lord wills. Verily your Lord is the doer of what He wills. In Surah 11, Surah 2. And much clearer than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will abide therein for ages. Here, pay attention. They will be in hellfire for ahqab. What's ahqab? Ahqab is a plural. The single is huqb. Al-huqb is a specific amount of days and months or years. So al-huqb is not an open-end number. Al-huqb must be defined by a beginning and end. Otherwise, you cannot call it in Arabic language huqb. So ahqaba, it means a specific amount of years. What is it? We don't know. But it's not an open, it's not an infinity. It's not an open end. So in Arabic language, you will not refer to the word huqb unless you mean a specific amount. So that means it has a beginning and an end. So that means those who people in hellfire, there is an end for their time, for terms in hellfire. Is that clear? So that's their biggest argument based on this. That's why Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he read this verse, he said, Wallahi, if the people of fire will live in it and stay in it as many years as the grain of sands. Can you imagine a grain of sands in a big, huge container? How many millions of them? He said, if they stay that many years, there is one day will come and it will end. And also, they use a narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that in Sunan Abi Dawud, that he said, and it was reported that even from the Prophet ﷺ, but it's a statement from Mas'ud, and he said Mas'ud will not say that from his own. He said, there is one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the fire to an end, and it will be a grass after that. But it will be ended. Khalas, the people and the fire itself as a punishment will come to an end. Also, they said, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم told us that Allah said, غلبت رحمتي غضبي. غلبت إيش؟ رحمتي غضبي. Allah said, my mercy will take over my anger. So eventually Allah's mercy must take over the anger. So if those people stay forever, that means His anger take over His mercy. And that's impossible. You following the argument? They said, since Allah said that my mercy will take over, so eventually Allah's mercy will reach those people as well, and it will bring that suffering to an end. There is an argument, a logical argument, not very common among the Sunni. They said, since those people did not disobey Allah forever, justice required that they will not be punished forever. That's the weakest argument. Are you guys following? Okay, good. Today is more of an academic kind of study. Show you how the theologian debate issues. So here you see, this is the debate. So the majority come and they said, no, we don't agree with you. Ahqaba, and the exception that made in the verse, except Allah's will, is related to the believers who will be in hellfire because of their sins. They will stay in it for a period of time, that will be leaving. So the one that it will end, the punishment that will come to an end is regarding to the believers who end up in hellfire, but not talking about the disbelievers. And that's how we combine between the evidence. Why? Because all this evidence we told you guys, clear stating that this is eternal. And as for justice, no, that's justice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us when He spoke about the hellfire and the people of hellfire, He said, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ, they have seen from Allah what they never expect. And Allah said in the end of the verse, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَانُهُ عَنْهُ. And if Allah give them the chance, those people of hellfire, the disbeliever, if Allah give them the chance to come back to dunya, to this life, they will come back to disobey Allah. And because of that, it's justice. Because Allah knows that if they go back, they will make kufr. That's why He punished them. Are you following, guys? Okay. So they said that's number one. Number two, you guys saying that Allah's mercy take over His anger, it did. That's why Allah allowed them to live this life. If those disbelievers, Allah's mercy was not there, they would not live a single moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have destroyed them long time ago. Allah give them the dunya, give them the money, give them the wealth, give them the breathing, the air, the whole universe, Allah give it to them. Waited, giving them chance after another. So Allah's mercy have already taken over. And now the time for the punishment. But obviously, see, this argument is not very strong because we're not talking about the past, we talk about the future. Eventually, the mercy will take over. Anyway, طيب, what's the minority said? Ya Sheikh, these are very clear evidence from the Quran. How we reconciliate? They said, we believe in every verse the majority of the scholars have used. We believe that the punishment of the hellfire will never be enlightened, will be always increased. They will never die. They will not exit. It will never have a break. Death comes from every direction, but they will never die. We agree with all this. Like, if you agree with all this, how you can say it's not eternal? They said, listen carefully, see how smart the scholars are. They said, we say they will not die as long as it exists. They will not exit as long as it exists. It will not lighten the punishment as long as it exists. They will not taste death as long as it exists. And that's how we combine between all evidence. So as long as it exists, their punishment increase. As long as it exists, they will not die. As it will not, you know. So when the angel will be said, is eternity? What about eternity? How we understand eternity? They said the word eternity doesn't necessarily means, necessarily in Arabic language, they said it does not mean necessarily, yani eternal forever, literally. Why? They said because it's a common thing to say I've been here forever waiting for you. Which it means a very, very long time. And they said in the Quran itself, Allah said in regard to the person who kill his brother, a Muslim kill another Muslim. Allah said that they will be in Surah An-Nisa, they will be in hellfire forever. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And we know that a sin by killing someone does not make you take you out of the fold of Islam. So why Allah referring to the killer that he will be in hellfire forever? It means he will stay in hellfire for a very, 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 very long time, as if it is forever. And he said, all scholars agree into that interpretation. Unless we say that this person killed that person, think it's halal. Anyway, so they said that's easy to understand. And that's how we reconcile between the evidence. And you can see both have good argument. That lead me to the conclusion to tell you, this is one of the areas that I do believe that the debate and the difference of opinion both are acceptable. You take that position with the majority, ahlan wa sahlan. You take the position of minority, it's okay. Why it is okay? Because both have evidence from the Quran. Both have evidence from the early generations, and that's important. It's not my interpretation. Ibn Taymiyyah, that's the Sahaba's interpretation. The companion's interpretation, the early scholar's interpretation. So because of this, we say that this is a good argument. That's one of the examples where the ulama might have a debate over a thing, two different opinions. And in the end of the day, we say whatever opinion among them is acceptable. Because sometimes I know that this is one of the reasons for people to be atheists, left Islam, because he think of eternity of hellfire. So if you deal with somebody like that, you can mention that, alhamdulillah, this is not something that's agreed upon. But I think what is important for us to, why I brought this to discussion, is to educate ourselves about this issue for first. Two, to see how the Muslim theologian debate over issue. To understand what are the area that it is, the different opinions are accepted in aqidah matters, when it is based on evidence, when it's based on, you know, understanding from the early generations. And also in the same time, it is important for me, for you to understand that no one among the scholars have said that the disbelievers will go to Jannah. Allah said, they will not enter Jannah until the camel go through the opening of the needle, the hole in the needle. If you can bring a camel through the hole of the needle, you can bring a disbeliever into Jannah. That's impossible. That's how the Quran put it. That's not something that discussed, because I have seen some people try to twist this argument to another direction. And I will end with what I start with. That nobody want to be in that place even for a second. It's more than 100 double of the hottest fire we have in this earth. What's the hottest? Do you know what's the hottest temperature in this earth? Can anybody Google that? What's the hottest temperature? Not hottest temperature on natural. No, I don't mean that. Not the Death Valley. No. What you can produce, what is the hottest temperature you can ever produce? Atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb, whatever. Think of that, multiply that 100 times. Come on, man. We can't even deal with, you know, 50 degree, not 100 degree. Ask the doctor when you see burned people, how that feels. Nobody want even a second in hellfire. Alhamdulillah. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqun nar walau bishiqqi tamra. You can protect yourself from hellfire, shield yourself from hellfire with half a date that you donate for the sake of Allah. You can protect yourself from the hellfire fasting one day for sabilillah. You can protect yourself from hellfire by praying two rak'ah in the night, by consistent daily prayer. What's the hottest temperature? Anybody figure it out?
5.5 billion degrees. 5.5?
trillion degree Celsius. How did you produce that? In the lab. Yeah. I read that. I have that in my notes when I teach about the hellfire. But do you remember what kind of lab, do you know? 5.5 trillion Celsius degree. Whew. Ya Rabb, protect us. No one asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 3 times to protect him from the hellfire. Unless the hellfire said, Ya Rabb, protect him from me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect from the hellfire. Ya Rabb, protect us from the hellfire. Ya Rabb, protect us from the hellfire. Ya Rabb, protect us from the hellfire. Us and our children, our parents, our spouses, our loved one. Allahumma ameen. Sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Thank you very much for having me tonight with you guys.